liver, liver, lead us less to...
Hello and welcome to As the Worm Turns, your weekly garden show here on KVNF. My name is Amber Kleinman. I'm happy to be sitting in for Jill this week. And welcome, worms.
Hi, Amber.
Hi.
Right? Don't worry. We got your back.
That's right. You know what's going on. I don't need to do anything. I should give the phone number, though.
Yep.
So this is all about your questions. We have a lot of information we're going to cover, but if you have a question for us, you can call us at 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now.
That's and so you guys, you should call because I know you guys are all out there trying to figure out what you should do because you get it frost.
Yes.
So, you know.
Either a frost or a full freeze at my house because I'm by
you're on the Minnesota Creek.
It was cold.
It was a hard frost on or a hard freeze on Saturday, Sunday, and last night.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, wow. You went down Saturday night?
Yeah.
Wow.
Saturday night. Yeah.
Wow.
So some of us are done. Well, not done. The kale and the cabbage are rearing their heads above all the other vines that are dead now. So,
that was what was so funny in my garden. It was like, oh, there you are.
There you are. Right. The fist above the dead, like cucumbers.
Right. It was
I'm
just
here.
Great. Yeah. Come and get me.
Exactly.
So, anyway.
We had a frost, a freeze, depending on where you are, and that really affects everything in the garden.
Uh-huh.
It seems like
all the summer stuff's out.
They're gone.
They're gone. Winter squash is still there.
Oh, yours is. Okay.
Yeah, winter squash. I leave it on as long as possible.
So you, even though like maybe the leaves are touched, you're going to leave the winter squash attached to the plant.
I'm
going to
leave them out.
While?
If I can get another month out of it, I'll leave them there.
Okay. Even if the plant looks like it's, maybe hanging in there.
Well, the stems and the roots are still feeding it.
Okay.
And most of my leaves didn't get burnt.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny. The delicatas didn't get touched. And here's this big squash patch, and there's one little stream where they hit, and the rest of the leaves are standing.
Wild.
And the next frost, if it's going to be really cold, I'll actually cover the individual squash. I have burlap bags, I have sheets, I'll fold them, I'll put something so the hard frost doesn't hit the squash.
Okay.
Right, because if you get the hard frost on the skin, it will burn the skin, and then that makes your squash more susceptible to decomposing, rotting.
Right.
Yeah, so you don't have
winter.
You don't have long-term storage then.
Right.
So does that look different? Can people tell?
Oh, you can see it.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's a difference in the color of the skin.
Yeah, I have one squash that got it just a little bit.
Oh, so you eat those first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, that's
They're
what you
fine.
Do. Yeah, eat them first. And leaving them out there, especially, I was up looking at Willie's garden today, and he's got a lot of winter squash under there, but they're under the leaves. He's got a lot of cover still.
Uh-huh.
So just leave it.
Just leave them.
Leave it. Don't bother it. Let it go for a while. And then like Lance said, if you know you're going to get a real serious frost, then you go out and maybe throw something over them because they've got a lot that if they were trying to pull it all in all at once, it would be a task.
Right.
And then the main thing is when you are finally pulling it off is leave as much of the stem on as you can.
Right.
And then, you know, then of course that also makes a problem too because then you have the scraping stem and it's brittle. And if you knock it on something when you're bringing your squashes in, then that's another one you have to eat first.
Yeah. What a shame.
Yeah.
No, but one thing good about frost is all those fall crops, they get sweeter.
Sweeter. Yeah.
And more tender.
Yeah.
The kale.
Kales and chards.
People tell me how good my carrots taste. Now wait.
They'll
be even better.
Yeah,
beans.
And the collards do that time too. And the arugula will get hotter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then that's real nice. Yeah. You know, if you're into hot arugula, that works.
Yeah.
What else is out there?
What about onions? Like I still have a lot of onions in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
What's next for those?
I would pull them.
Okay.
And it's simple as that because they're going to start growing again.
Oh.
Short day lengths, the greens grow. And if you pull a few, you'll see the new root greens. And then they don't store.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just get them out of the ground.
And so I know some people pull them and like leave them right in the patch to kind of dry in the sun. Like, what do you prefer for better storage?
I put them inside my shed.
Okay.
Or the garden room.
In the dark.
No, it's just out of direct sunlight. It's not dark.
Okay, out of direct sunlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be careful of the direct sunlight. I mean, you know, it's not that much and it's not that long and the sun's lower in the sky and all that, but you still want to be careful.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so drying onions.
A surface going into the sun can be 80, 90 degrees.
Sure. Yeah.
And, and you're trying to try these out for winter storage. You're actually burning them up.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So.
Okay.
So you want to be careful about that. And my winter squash went down.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the vines were just black all over and it was time to go anyway. I decided that was my decision because I had to get the kale out.
Mm-hmm. The only thing that really shows a sign of frost at my place is the buckwheat.
Yeah,
the buckwheat is the only thing that froze. And I covered what needed to be covered.
Uh-huh.
Right. And that's just a cover crop anyway. So it's doing its thing.
Yeah. You know, another, if you have your tomatoes still on the vine, leave them. Leave them, you know, until you know there's going to be a real whacking good frost, leave them out there. They will ripen on the vine.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the vine
even though they
looks,
look just terrible.
Yeah, it's
still
kind of the same thing as the squash.
Yeah.
Mm. Leave them on. They'll ripen. They'll come
and
along.
Pick them.
You know.
What about peppers? Peppers or no? Curtains?
Depends on the pepper,
yeah.
I think.
Oh,
I brought my sweet bells in.
We have a caller.
Oh, see?
I didn't know to look at the screen. Okay, so hello, Jonathan.
Yeah, quit talking about the sexy vegetables. Just put them in a basket, okay?
Hi, Jonathan. Do you have a question for us? Oh, hello.
Oh, that was the comment.
Oh, we were done. Okay.
Well, there you go. Stop talking about those sexy vegetables and just put them in the basket.
All right. Good advice.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you know, they're all just doing their. It's you know, so much of it is your call too. What's your
with
everybody has different gardens. Everybody has different needs and desires.
Peppers will ripen some if they haven't gotten a hard frost. They'll ripen some.
I feel like after a freeze, everything kind of just slows down. Like, it doesn't quite necessarily finish. So you're kind of not sure if you should wait or if you just yank it and roast it up and eat it. Or
I go for roasting and eating.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I pulled my peppers. So I had these massive, huge peppers, and they were supposed to turn yellow, and only one of them did. And it has this big hole in it. It's like, I don't get it. But anyway. And the rest of the pepper is fine. And it's massive. I mean, it's huge. It's this big.
I agree. I had the best pepper year and tomato year. I think those 3 weeks of like 90 degree weathers, it made, you know, all of us were just like, oh, this is terrible. But the tomatoes and the peppers did outstanding, I would have to say. Yeah.
Yeah, they came through like champs. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So. Yep.
Okay.
So anyway.
So yeah.
527-4868 or what? How does it go?
1-866
KVNF now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just
give us a call. Let us know what went down and stayed up and what's going on.
Yeah,
in
your world. I wanted to talk about the local issue of the irrigation water because anybody who's pulling out of the river. Chocolate milk.
Yeah, forget it.
And I feel like people should be warned that this is. I feel
not
it's
good.
Unusable water. I mean, unless you're like soaking a tree.
Right.
There's definitely no reason to sprinkle it because it's just adding. I feel like there's so much solids in this water that it shouldn't be something that you put on your plants or in your soil because it just add to the clay of the soil.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
And that's what
I think.
I
there's
was
a
saying.
Warning involved. Like,
yeah,
I think maybe you should just shut it down.
Yeah.
Turn
Don't
off
use
the
it.
Tap. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it and if you're running it through a sprinkler system,
it's going to build up in there.
Yeah.
The filters and
the
then
filters
all the emitters, and it's
else.
Like, oh
yeah.
my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, and that stuff doesn't clean out easy.
No.
I mean, even to get it on the leaves of a plant, like you'd have to rub it to get it off.
That's right.
Clings.
It doesn't just come off.
No, it doesn't just spray off. So I'm, you know, saying people should. Probably just not use it and just quit for the season. Okay, yeah. We have another caller. Jane in Paonia has a question. Hello, Jane.
Are you there?
Hello.
Come in, Jane. Jeff's in there scratching his head.
He's on
He'll
the phone again.
It.
Okay.
Well, anyway, that'll happen for
that'll
sure.
Happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll come on.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. I think we have. Hello, Jane.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
There you go.
There you are.
Hi, you guys. I want to tell you it's so fun. I've enjoyed your program all season.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, fun to listen to you. So I'm making a cauliflower crust pizza at the moment with everything out of the garden.
Oh, awesome. How spectacular.
Yeah.
How do you make a cauliflower crust?
Well, this is my maiden time, so I probably shouldn't tell you about it. If it turns out good, I'll call you back and tell you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. I can't wait to hear.
I had a question. I grew Brussels sprouts this year, and just wondering if you guys have ideas on what's a nice way to prepare them.
I do.
I don't.
Prepare them. Yeah.
Do you, Amber?
I have my own favorite, but you go ahead.
Okay.
Should I hang up and listen?
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I'll do that. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Okay. See you, Jane.
Bye.
Okay, so Brussels sprouts. You know, I, for one, if you asked me years ago what vegetables I don't eat, vegetables, the Brussels sprouts, turnips, and rutabaga would have been at the tops of the list, right? Oh, and okra. Don't even go there. But. Uh-huh. Now I have Brussels sprouts very high on the list because this is what you do. You just get a big frying pan and you put them in with a good amount of olive oil. And you start kind of crisping them around, kind of sautéing them up a little bit, you know, kind of get them going a little bit. And then you can put water, a little bit of water, and steam them a little bit. And you're doing this on top of the stove. So when you put the water in with the olive oil, you know you're going to get a lot of that spritzing. So you want to make sure you do it nice and gentle and not too hot on the oil and all that. And just kind of get it going a little bit.
Yep.
And then take the whole pan. Now you've got a little bit of a crisp going on your Brussels sprouts, right? A little tiny bit of a crisp.
Mm-hmm.
You get it going. You put maybe a little tiny bit more olive oil, a little bit of salt, and some Italian seasoning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the rosemary, what's in there? Rosemary, marjoram, thyme, basil.
Italian.
Oregano, I think.
Yeah.
Parsley, maybe. No, there's no parsley.
Oh, no parsley.
Yeah. And so you just cut, but you know, you buy it in the store, unless you're me and you make your own. And then you put a little Italian seasoning on there with your olive oil and a little tiny bit of salt, and you put it in the oven.
Yeah. Oh, your oven. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Put it in the oven at 350 and, you know, let it go for about, 20 minutes, and then take, you know, check it and kind of fester it up a little bit more, you know, kind of spisher, you know, rank around.
Yeah.
And then if it's not crispy, put it back in for a little bit longer and let it, I'm telling you.
I agree. Like the when you really cook them well, I mean, you can't undercook them. A Brussels sprout, I think, gets a little not as sweet and as wonderful as if you, I almost blacken them. Like I love to pan fry them with olive oil and some garlic until they're like crispy and almost dark. Mm-hmm. Like they're so good that way.
Right. And so here's
and simple.
Yes. And simple. Mm-hmm. So a variation on the theme is like you were just saying, a little bit of garlic. You can either, you know, squinch up the garlic or garlic, a little bit of garlic powder. And another variation on the theme is a tiny bit of balsamic vinegar.
Oh, yes.
Or if you like things like Bragg's instead of salt.
Right.
Or, you know, something like that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, so good.
I don't grow Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
That's one I don't grow.
No. aphids.
But now
they're a challenge.
Aphids.
Yeah, you have to be on them.
Yeah.
Oh, I always have aphids on them. But if you just know that you have to treat them regularly to keep them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, don't even grow them because they're just so much trouble and they're gross and you're just like. Yuck, they're all malformed and
yeah.
They take some extra care, so you gotta love them.
But it's worth it.
It is.
We were talking about that today because friends of mine were over with their 1 year old. She just turned one, and that child was eating everything in the garden. You know, like just hammering everything, and it just goes to show you that I think. Children, everybody said, oh, I can't get my kids to eat vegetables.
Uh-huh. But if they can pick them themselves.
When they get to go out and pick them themselves and when they see them growing and when they come off the garden with all that flavor.
Mm, yeah.
You should have seen her eating the San Marzano. It was a perfect tomato for a kid, right? Because they can hold it
tiny.
And gum it. And,
you know,
just go after it. It was perfect.
Nice.
And then we turned her on to how to eat the Concord grapes, and that was the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the squirrels got all of ours. I don't think there's any left.
No.
I know. I always do that.
Well, anyway.
But speaking of aphids, I had a thought about what can be done this fall to prevent pests for next spring. So this includes not only insects, but also fungus or bacteria. Like, what can we do to not propagate more trouble for ourselves in the spring?
Yeah. Clean it up.
Yeah.
Just clean it up. And so does everything go into your compost pile?
I have hot compost piles.
Okay.
You know, some people get worried about if it's mildews and fungus and stuff like that.
That's part of a compost pile, though, right?
I actually compost everything.
Like all my squash vines and leaves look terrible.
Yeah,
but they'll all go in the compost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I've actually got my compost pile hot a couple of times this summer, which is a miracle. And it's been up. Because it's in the shade and it's all that and everything. It's a funky compost pile.
Yeah.
And it was up super high over the sides of the bin. And now it's down.
It just melts.
It's halfway down.
It's amazing.
And the worms are on it, man. Yeah. They are on it. And the chickens are on the worms. So,
You know, do you have chickens?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, clean up everything and then let the chickens in.
Ah, right. Send them through.
You can even do a light tilling if you want to, or hand turning, and that just brings up bugs and stuff. So,
It blows them. Because so many is like grasshoppers and things that have laid their eggs already, and once you rototill and start disturbing the soil, you're gonna put a dent in their game plan.
Okay, so you would recommend like tilling the top of the soil in the fall.
Just a little bit.
Just a little.
Because they haven't gone down too deep.
Okay, just like a couple inches.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Just to disturb the
and
eggs.
And just get the chickens out there. And
let the chickens get in there.
And let them do it. Yeah. Free labor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got another call. We have Marty from Montrose on the phone. Hello.
Oh, excellent.
Hi, you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Hi.
Hi, Marty.
Okay. Yeah, I grew some tomatoes this year in South. And then to the frost, I brought them in. So they're in my skinny window here facing south. And I'm just wondering now, how much do I need for them?
Ooh. Oh, you know what? You're breaking up.
So many of those words we didn't catch.
We didn't catch.
So you have something on your windowsill. What is it again?
I brought my tomatoes in because I grew them in pots this year.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, excellent.
And so now they're in the window. And I just wonder how much I should water them now.
Oh, any thoughts on that?
Well, just like outside, you don't want them to dry out. Even moisture.
Yeah, for tomatoes.
Yeah. So you're going to have to put your finger in the ground in the pot, and if it's moist, leave it.
Yeah. They don't want to be too wet.
No, they don't want to be too wet. But what is does your pot drain?
Yeah, the pots drain, and they were actually getting. Watered with the irrigation every day. So I'm just wondering now, should I keep watering them every day then?
No.
Probably not. Yeah.
No. They're getting less light too. So they're not going to be using as much water.
But they're big plants, I assume. So
they're like about 3 feet tall.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, just Yeah, good luck. You just have to You do. You just have to figure out how to keep them evenly moist.
Yeah. Maybe every couple days.
Yeah.
Check it out and see if you feel moisture and top them off. Yeah. But I mean, I assume
and then you're going to have to make sure you every once in a while get your moisture to go all the way through too. So all the way
out.
Down. Yeah, to drain out.
Right.
So.
It could be
you can do it. You're going to figure it out.
Just have to
pay
attention.
Just pay attention and figure it out. And
the rest of them ripen on the vine, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a dedicated tomato grower there.
No, but you know what? That, let me tell you, it can be a little bit of a challenge, but it's so worth
it.
I did that 1 year in Carbondale, and I had a tomato on a cheese sandwich cross-country skiing in January.
They stayed alive inside till January?
Yeah.
Oh,
Wow.
Yeah. I'm impressed.
Yeah. And it was like God and summer, you know, out on the trail. It was unbelievable. It was just
so it's worth
magnificent.
It. So, good.
Yeah, it's
good.
Worth it.
Hang in there.
I was just thinking a little bit of kelp.
Oh, sure.
Fertilizer, liquid fertilizer, just maybe once every couple of weeks to help it through stress of just being inside.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That would be good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you. Good luck.
Good luck.
Okay. Love your show. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Should we give the numbers one more time? We have 10 more minutes left.
Yeah,
so
we have time.
If anyone has any questions, we have more to talk about. But
yeah, plenty more to talk about.
527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now.
We never run out of stuff.
No,
we
never do.
Oh, my God.
Do you want to throw in some stuff, Lance?
Oh, I can, just projects. The popcorn's been harvested, husked, and is drying. And I cut all the stalks down, plus the sunflowers, and shredded them. And so they're in the compost.
You shred the sunflowers.
Sunflower stalks and...
You take the heads off and dry those, and then all the stalks you throw in.
Well, I didn't get a chance to dry them. The jays
The birds, yeah.
They took
they
all
those.
They love those. So, and then the pintos have been harvested, the late harvested, late planted pintos got harvested. And then that was Sunday they got harvested. I came home today and rototilled lightly in that whole entire area and planted winter rye for grain and emmer, which is an ancient type of wheat.
Right, emmer. And so it's a wheat. It grows like wheat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it shorter or is it?
We'll find out.
Oh, we don't know.
Well, I planted it when I first got it. I planted it as a spring grain. That's what I thought. But somebody else told me
it's
that you can actually
grain.
You can plant it as a winter grain.
Is it like spelt? I mean, isn't
it? Yeah, it has
similar?
A husk on it, so it'd be similar.
So this is a new trial.
Well, it's
run.
The second time.
Okay.
Second time I planted it.
See if it's going to do better in winter.
Yeah.
Okay. So at this point, for cover crops, you probably want to avoid like buckwheat because it's too cold.
Yeah.
So you want to just stick with winter rye and anything else? You
well,
can peas,
yeah,
maybe?
The, there's Austrian winter pea. There's vetch.
Vetch will still
there's
grow.
There's clovers.
Oh, sure.
And if you can't get winter rye, you can use winter wheat.
Okay.
You know, any winter grain will do, but winter rye is a standard standard one to use.
Okay. So there's still time to put those. So how late would you plant a
November.
Cover crop? November, yeah.
And if it's that late, I would do straight rye.
Okay, right. That's the most dependable overwintering.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always think that's so fascinating because I've never done it because I've always had little gardens.
Yeah, in a small garden, it's not necessary.
You don't do it, right? You just add compost, and I've got so much hay in the chicken yard, and the chickens have been working it over, and it's semi-composted underneath. I can't wait to put that on the garden.
It's like gold.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'll do is kind of clean the garden up, maybe rototill lightly. And then put that stuff on. Whoo, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. First thing in the spring, it'll be ready to go. I really, my goal this year is to plant radishes when I come back from skiing.
So when you're putting this gold compost on there, it's in the fall or it's in the spring?
Fall.
On the fall. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'll have lots and lots of leaves in there too.
Right.
Right. And then in the spring, I'll figure out what I'm going to do next.
Mm-hmm. If you have healthy soil, all that will be broken down.
Should be broken
down.
Oh,
for sure. Yeah.
Worms, the bacteria in the soil, they just take care of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it breaks down. And if it hasn't broken down sufficiently, which, you know, I guess it happens, but hardly ever.
Not much.
I just pull it aside. Mm-hmm. And start.
It's still useful. Yeah, I just move it in the back.
Yeah, it's mulch.
Right.
You know, and for something like radishes, I would pull it aside the width of the rototiller and then just get the tiller in there and go for it for a row and put the radishes in and call it good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then go away for another month. Do something else, yeah. You know? Get ready to plant peas. I never plant my peas when Lance does because my gardens
skiing.
Are... Yeah, right. I'm still
That's
skiing.
Early. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's since we're already starting to run out of time, I think we should talk about garlic because that was the...
Oh, we did have that on our list.
We have that on our list, and that's a big subject.
Yeah, but it's really it's mid to late October. Is
the best time.
Yeah. If you're at higher altitudes, you do it earlier. Lower altitudes, do it a little bit later. If you can get garlic in the ground... I've actually chopped through an inch of frozen ground and planted it.
And you're fine.
And
how deep are you planting it?
You want about 4 inches. Yeah. 3 to 4 inches.
The clove goes in and then two more on top of that at least.
Okay.
So three cloves down. Chink, chink.
Gotcha.
And then there's the
3 inches minimum, I would say.
Yeah, that's a minimum.
For our climate.
Yeah, and four inches apart.
4 inches apart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what works as a really great grid is that utility wire with the 4-inch square.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Panels. Yeah, mm-hmm. I've used that so many times. You just take the whole thing and you lay it down in the garden and you every other square you put the garlic and then you can leave a path in the middle.
Oh, and it'd be the perfect grid.
It's the perfect grid,
okay.
Right?
That's very
right?
Smart.
It really
yeah,
works.
That's a good
and
tip.
Then, yeah. And then if you do that and you leave it a 4-inch four-inch squares in the middle. It's enough for me to walk down, maybe somebody bigger, mm-hmm. not so much. But then if you do that and you do four garlic on either side of your path, you can reach all the garlic to weed easily, mm-hmm. from both sides,
yeah.
The middle and the sides. And, it just works.
Works good. Yeah. So you have a territorial seed catalog in front of
you.
Yes, and they
I
have
do.
Lovely varieties of garlic. Now, I have in the past just gone to the health food store and bought my favorite kind of garlic.
And then there's
and
that.
And planted it.
And
I mean,
that'll
and
work.
Is, that
yep.
seems
yeah.
to yep. work. Yep. So what's the difference between buying it seed garlic out of the catalog versus just buying garlic and putting it in the ground?
Nothing.
If you know it's organic.
I don't.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not much. Okay. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Price.
Price,
yeah,
right.
Price.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite
yeah,
often it is. It's pricier. It's usually pricier
and you
want to
know,
do the seed catalog.
Yeah. If
but,
you want the special purple kind, then.
You'll have more varieties out of a catalog than you have out of the store.
Health food store.
Right.
Yes,
and,
it's true.
And all, just, I don't know a variety that won't grow here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it doesn't.
Well, elephant garlic, have you gotten that to grow here?
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but
success,
it's not a garlic.
Right, true.
It's a leek.
Shallot?
Leek.
It's a leek. Okay.
And so, you know, if you get a good seed catalog, like this one happens to be territorial and seed catalog, and you can educate yourself, too, on whether you want a hard neck or a soft neck.
Right.
And the difference between the two and whether it's spicy or whether it's mm-hmm. hot or whether it's mild or whether it's easy to peel or, you know, whatever
or
it is
get
that
the,
you want.
This is the porcelains. This is funny that porcelains. Our type of garlic, you have the Georgian crystal there. Is there a Georgian crystal there? But porcelains have nothing but big cloves.
Oh, okay. No,
there
little tiny ones.
Right,
no small,
there was one in here.
There's some porcelains. Then there's the silver skins, which are generally a spring-planted garlic.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and those are, if you don't get to it in the fall, you can get
you
these.
You have another option.
There's these other varieties. I have one type of spring garlic.
And theirs harvested later, maybe in August
a week
or something?
Two.
Oh, okay.
Not, it's not that much different.
Okay.
You know, but
it's just nice to get them in the ground and out of the way. You know? You don't have to plant that in the spring. Mm-hmm. You got everything else to plant in the spring.
Yeah, but it stores longer.
Oh, it does.
Yes, the spring planted garlic stores another month.
Oh well, there you go.
You see, that's why I plant a little bit of it.
Right. Yeah. To have that variety.
Nope. Okay. No porcelains in here.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But they were, I saw one somewhere that was like, this garlic is particularly easy to peel.
But you just got to start working them. Enchilium is very successful, easy. The Turkish red is really good.
Yeah. Oh, and the Spanish Roja I've always liked as well.
So the decision of hard neck versus soft neck, does that just depend on, oh, I like to braid them versus I don't braid them?
Well, and, you know, the hard neck it goes down inside the globe. And the soft necks are usually better for braiding, and they usually keep better.
They keep a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But the other difference is the hard necks don't have that many small center ones.
True.
Where the soft neck
has the little ones in the middle. Yeah,
has the little ones. So that's the other difference. But, you know, it's okay.
Just a personal preference.
And you can save. I make a garlic spray for bugs.
Oh, right.
You can save all those small ones, put them in a different spot, and just save them.
Yeah.
And then crush them when it's time to start making bug juice.
Ah, mm-hmm. Right. Aphid spray.
And if they're starting to go bad, make your bug juice and set it aside.
Yeah.
And just fester and get even better.
All funky. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Gosh, I can't believe that was a half an hour. I still have questions, but.
Well, you'll have to call
you'll
up.
You'll have to call
in. I'll call in next week.
Next week when Jill's back.
Okay, good. Well, we have One Woman's Perspective with Tara coming up. And thank you for listening to As the Worm Turns.
All right. Have a good evening.
Good night, everybody. Yeah,
thanks for coming, Amber.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for coming, Amber. What a rock star. You've got a cute vest pocket Mazda, which you can make go slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.